because of and in honor of the Lord's death on Friday, Good Friday, there is no Mass celebrated anywhere in the world. So what we do here on Good Friday is not a Mass. It's a special Good Friday service. And it has three parts to it. The first part is the Liturgy of the Word, and we're in the middle of that. And then the second part is veneration of the cross, or adoration of the cross. And the third part is communion. And so just a couple of points. There's a collection right after the intercessions, and the collection on Good Friday is always for the sacred places in the Holy Land. And a little history is helpful here. In the 12th century, St. Francis of Assisi, in a desire to create more union among the disparate peoples of the world and the disparate religions, traveled to the Holy Land and had conversations with one of the sultans there, and kind of maybe trying to convert him, but at least opening a dialogue. And the sultan was so impressed with him that one of the things he did was he said, I give you the charge, the custody of your Christian sacred places in the Holy Land. And so ever since then, since the 12th century, the Franciscan order, the descendants of Francis, have been taking care of the Catholic shrines in the Holy Land. And so obviously there's not a great deal of money that they can collect there, so they depend on the whole world of Catholics to contribute to this collection every Good Friday to help maintain those shrines. And of course, these are large historic churches, and they take a lot of maintenance money and staffing and all that sort of thing. Second thing is, for the veneration of the cross, we'll do the procession in this way. People will come down the center aisle, and then when these two center sections are finished, then starting at the back, the two side sections will come down the center aisle, and then when they're finished, the far sides will come down the center and form two lines. You know, don't wait for one person to venerate. Two can venerate at the same time. Otherwise, we'll be here before the next service starts. What we're doing during this three-day liturgy in the Triduum is we're really celebrating the Paschal Mystery. And in a way, that's not out of the ordinary. I mean, we celebrate the Paschal Mystery every Sunday. That's what Sunday is a celebration of the Paschal Mystery, the dying and rising of Christ and our involvement in that. But during these sacred liturgies, we look at it a little bit more intently, and we reflect a little bit more deeply, not differently necessarily, because it's always the Paschal Mystery, but looking at more intently what perhaps our involvement in that should be. So what is being revealed by the death of Christ, by the servanthood of Christ, and all this Holy Week we've been reading from the Suffering Servant Psalms of Isaiah, and that was our first reading today, was one of those psalms, one of those poems. And it's the Old Testament period reflecting in their own age and in their own life experience that somehow there's a mystery going on here, that suffering can bring life, that suffering doesn't have to be meaningless. And in fact, taking on voluntary suffering actually creates the possibility of resurrection all around us and within our own bodies and within our own existence. And those poems then, that Old Testament reflection on the meaning and value of suffering, is fulfilled in Christ. Those things are kind of like a premonition of what he was eventually going to live out in his own body. And so, like Christ fulfills all the Old Testament prophecy and the Old Testament law, it's all fulfilled in his person, this particular mystery of suffering is lived out in his life and in his death. And so he who was God, equal to the Father, and yet always obedient to the Father, always willing to be begotten by one who is actually his equal, it's so much who Christ is. It's who the second person of the Trinity is. He takes the last place. He becomes the servant. And as it says in that psalm that we heard a few minutes ago, there was nothing particularly to be admired about him. We held him in no esteem. And isn't that true? Lots of times, the person who is suffering willingly is not admired for that. In fact, they're thought to be foolish. Why are you doing that? Why don't you take care of yourself like the rest of us are doing? You're making us look bad. And so Jesus was reviled by the people around him. Yes, he had his followers. He had his fans. But by the time his life was nearing its end, they were pretty much non-existent. They had gone their own way, or they had become afraid to follow him any longer. They had escaped. And he's there by himself. You know, his mother and a couple of other women and a couple of disciples, and that's it. And he dies alone. Reviled, hated, laughed at, scorned. And this is who God is. Jesus is showing us divine life. This is what divine life looks like. And it's also what human life looks like. And so the lesson that we have to learn every Sunday, but particularly during the Triduum here and on Good Friday, the lesson we have to learn is that somehow you and I have to struggle with this mystery. It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be something that we would want to do. In fact, we all kind of dread it. Even Jesus said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Who wouldn't in their humanness dread this moment? And yet somehow we struggle with the fact that meaning is in this moment. It's in this suffering. It's in this dying servanthood. And so in the various ways that life presents challenges to us, you know, when someone gets married, they start dying to themselves and giving themselves in an almost frightening kind of way to another person. And then when you start having children, you start making all kinds of sacrifices. And it's best that you didn't know all of that before you got into it. And in my priesthood, it's better that I didn't know 40-some years ago everything I was going to have to go through. But when we're at this point where we are now, it's like, okay, that would have scared me. I would have probably run. But life dealt this deck to me, and it has made me who I am. You know, we are who we are because of what we've suffered and what we've given. And what we've offered. And so whenever we're gathered around this altar of sacrifice, this altar of giving, and yes, it's an altar of receiving too. We give, but we also receive back Christ. I mean, it's a wonderful exchange, but that doesn't really take away from the fact that this is an altar of suffering, of sacrifice. Because what it means to be Christian is to join in the dying of Christ, to offer our lives in service, and to find out, sometimes in a hard way and sometimes in an easy and joyful way, that this is what the meaning of life is. This is the meaning of existence. God, who is existence itself. The name that God gives Moses, I am. I am existence itself. Before anything else came to be, I am. And Jesus, twice in that gospel we heard this afternoon, says, I am. That existence is based on dying. It's based on giving. It's based on obedience, letting go. The three persons of the Trinity are constantly and forever letting go of life. giving it over to the other two. That's what love is. And that's what we are.